Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson here with Lisa Murphy. How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I am good. How are you?
I'm doing great. This is one of those episodes where I just started the show and we don't really know what we're going to talk about. So what's up with you?
Well, I've been, I threw myself into the deep end of the pivot of professional development and training and have embraced probably a little bit of clunky, crude platform, but it's working so far of having people sign up for stuff via Eventbrite and then doing a Zoom thing and, you know, having conversations about some of the topics. And that's been cool. I've gotten some gigs where I'm doing webinars now for groups, which is awesome, you know, online. All that stuff that you were ahead of the curve on that. You were a couple of the other colleagues, you know, you jumped into that sooner than I did. And I always kind of dragged my feet for no reason other than I didn't need to, which, you know, I think, you know, that's what it is. No excuse, no judgment, nothing like that. But just, I didn't have to think about the platform. I always knew eventually I'd get to some kind of an online platform as an option, right? Mm-hmm. Thinking more of an option to the menu as opposed to it now being the menu of what I'm currently able to do. Kind of been navigating the folks who think very optimistically, cautiously that their conference is going to go off, you know, later summer and in the fall, and what's that going to look like? And I've been amazingly impressed with the level of out-of-the-box thinking and creativity with some of the event planners. So that's been kind of cool.
Like, I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you have an example?
Okay. Yeah. Here's one. And I'm like, damn, that's a great idea. She said, we're thinking about having you still live in person and then having three separate like venues, churches, because they're kind of like some of those new, you know, mega churches are all super hooked up tech wise.
They've always got the best tech.
They do have the best tech, hands down, straight up. She's like, so we're thinking about having you there. We'll space people out in the live in that room, and then we'll just live stream you. So we don't have to reduce completely our numbers. And I was like, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
For this time frame, of course, I would hate to think right now that that's the model that we need to think of for like indefinitely. But I thought for a cautiously optimistic end of summer conference, I thought that was pretty spot on.
You would hate that because
I wouldn't.
I mean, but why?
Oh, if it was like long-term where you had to, well, only because I put myself in the position of the coordinators and I just start thinking of the logistics behind, you know, navigating tech in three rooms and which building do I go to and which building do they go to? Not for me. It would be fine for me.
Yeah.
But okay. I
was going to say that's essentially, I mean, that same technology allows you to book three gigs on the same day and do them all at once. Because
hold on, because
with that one group having three venues, you could do the same thing on this date. I'm doing this presentation. Who wants to book it? And you could actually triple or quadruple book and do that same presentation for three or four or five or 10 groups, with that same technology. So, well, logistically, it might be different. Business wise, you could work half as many gigs and
you know, I don't think like that. And when I do think like that, I'm behind the curveball and everybody else has already started thinking like that.
But no, I think that's great that people are trying to figure it out. I was starting on this before pandemic times with the paperwork. I just got word a couple of days ago that I've been approved as a Nebraska approved online. I don't know what the official term is. I should probably know that. But so that everything I put up as far as online training through Explorations Early Learning is approved in the state of Nebraska. And so there was one person there that was kind of nudging me along. And as soon as that approval came, she said, okay, here's what we're going to do. And so we set up a coupon code for her organization that any of her people that book gigs that I've got going on get a discount that she covers the difference. Nice. And so she was worried, what if other people get the code? What if people outside my service area get the code? And I'm like, we'll fix it. And so I found a plugin for my website that limits coupon code use to certain zip codes. And I said, you give me all the zip codes in your service area and we lock everybody else out. And so problem solved. And so again, that's awesome, just innovative use. It's an innovative use of technology.
It is. And there's a part of me that is so like, damn it. I don't know how to do any of that. Like, I'm just, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're so smart when it comes to stuff like that.
Well, no, it's the guiding principle there is I'm so lazy that I want to figure out the easiest way to do it. And so I'll put a little bit of time into figuring out the easy way and building from that. And so, I mean, my plan going forward is to build out that platform so that I can have other trainers come in and use that platform so that they don't have to do all the bullshit behind the
levy hefty
stuff.
Yeah.
And do a good enough job with this one organization that other groups in the state serving other geographic areas in the state are going to say, oh shit, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And then work on expanding it to other states, because I think where things are up in the air with online training before pandemic and PP post pandemic are the whole what counts situation. Yeah. And I think states are still trying to figure that out. And I guess we didn't know what this episode was going to be about when we started talking, but I guess it's going to be about online learning.
Well, you know, I want to derail here for a quick second.
Yeah,
I think
go ahead.
Is one of the things that I've said this before, and neither you nor I are one of, let's just make a national, you know, something consistent, it's the same, like that kind of regulation. Neither you or I are big fans of that. However, the exception, at least in my world, to that is the whole counting thing, being qualified thing. Like, I believe very strongly that if you're out there making your living doing professional development for early childhood people, that there should be some kind of bar set that if you meet all those certain requirements, anything you do counts, instead of having to jump through 50 different hoops. Because I think that would, how much easier would that make the platform that you're setting up, right? That it's not different from Montana to Nebraska to Florida to California.
I for making my life easier, I would agree, but for 50 states as individual laboratories of experimentation, I'm all for the difference, mostly because I think what the agreed upon requirements would gravitate towards more bureaucracy and more educrat control. Mm. I mean, if 50 states decided to agree on something, are they going to agree on the simplest, most basic, easiest process for everybody? Are they going to deal on the one that has the most bureaucracy and bullshit involved in it?
Yeah.
In your experience.
No, I hear you.
And I mean, and this pandemic situation is a prime example of that. There are states who are doing a shitty job at this, New York, and others that are balancing human freedoms and the need to kind of keep people safe and healthy a lot more effectively. So I still wouldn't, even if it made my life easier, and it would, I still couldn't opt for that because I think it would come with the easier would still be bullshit.
I think the whole idea of counting too, what is counting? That to me brings up just thoughts of why aren't we trusting people? Do we really think that people are going to go off and like lie that they were, that they didn't participate, but they did. And, you know, I think that's it's a bullet point of conversation, at least for me is.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think I've met enough of those people out there that all they care about is a certificate that is valid enough looking that it will trick the licensor when they go through the files. Mm-hmm, and I mean,
But wouldn't you say that we've been capable of doing that since day one? You know I'm saying? Yeah. It's not like all of a sudden there's tech that could, you know, what is the verification that you actually sat somewhere for 6 hours to get that piece of paper?
Yeah.
You
know, and the thing is, no matter how they decide to manage that, there's still going to be people who try to figure out a way to cheat and are somewhat successful at it, I guess.
Well, and I think we just not need to, I mean, I have found that I'm not worried about it. You know, I mean, if that, at the end of the day, what you do with it is on you. I don't know, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the platform that I'm putting together, it's got stuff built in to kind of keep an eye on that stuff for like the on-demand sessions. If it's like a 90-minute session, on-demand session, and of that 90-minute, 54 minutes is video, you have to watch and respond to and take time to write your responses and do some reflection and that kind of stuff. And somebody starts the session and finishes it in 45 minutes. Well, I get a red flag that somebody's fucking around with something, mm-hmm. and that gets flagged. And so there are, with the technology, I think there are ways around those kind of things as well. But I think the brighter side of this is the opportunity for ongoing support and follow up.
Yes.
As people complete things, because, you know, you go to a live event and most everybody is bogged down and back in real life and forgetting any changes they were thinking about making by the time they get to their car in the parking lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
like
again,
I've seen some of the same names and some of the same faces, you know, and you have time to be like, you know, what were you thinking about since last week? And they're smaller, more intimate groups. And I agree 100% that,
yeah.
And we've talked about that before, the implementation
sure.
factor.
Sure. And well, online, I mean, people go back to watching cat videos as soon as the session they're engaged in is over. Of course, that's going to happen. But on our end, we have more, because they had to go through a registration process and we have more connection with them. Now, I mean, especially in my situation with where I kind of own the platform, doing gigs for somebody else that's handling registration is different, but I've got those people. And so I can set things up. So automatically 2 weeks later, they get a email that says, hey, what do you need? How you doing? What you thinking about?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that just gives those people who are interested in some ongoing information and support a chance to connect and ask questions and do those kind of things.
Because we need that reminder, because get back into your life and then you're like,
Yeah. And I mean, my experience is what you do is you fall back. I mean, you get the message that you got to remember to pick up milk on the way home after the conference and you remember to do that. And then 4 days go by and you're thinking, oh shit, I was going to try whatever it is. And you beat yourself up for not trying it. Having somebody be able to reach out to you like that and say, hey, here's some support, here's some idea. I'm thinking about you. What do you need?
Yeah.
Is kind of a nudge that some people need. And the other thing I'm working on is building I'm calling them resource pages for all the sessions. Mm-hmm. And so after something, you go to this page and then there's all the things that were mentioned, links to the books that were mentioned, all that kind of stuff, all that information is right there. And after completing the session, you've got ongoing access to that so that if you do need references or you want more follow-up or you want to read more in depth or watch other videos that are related to the thing that I've curated, that kind of stuff, it's there for you. So
yeah.
hopefully that becomes another piece that makes implementation a little bit more likely.
That's fantastic.
And I think the other part of it is, it gives presentations a bigger a bigger reach.
Well, because, yeah, and even before all this, we talked about that. You know, yeah. How many people are living in rural East Bumble wherever, you know, and they don't get access to stuff.
Well, or even urban, because, I mean, there are places in Brooklyn and Manhattan and shit that they don't have, just because the cost of putting on a big conference in those locations are kind of in training
prohibitive
themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And wider so reach for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the technology has gotten so much better even over the last 5 years. Well, hell, even in the 2 months or whatever this has been going on, Zoom has gotten better, because I've been using it for a long time, and they've upped their security game.
Oh yeah.
And those kind of things. And so they're learning and growing as part of this as well. So I think online is it's not going to replace live and in person, but I think it's going to become, I think it might take a bigger percentage of the training dollars organizations are spending, just because I give no fucks about the virus. The virus is either going to be with us or we're all going to die, one or the other. And long term, we're going to mostly go back to normal life. I know there are people that don't agree with that or don't believe that, but I think we humans, it's kind of, we're anti-change. I mean, we're wired to get back into our comfort zone. And so some things are going to be different, but mostly we're going to get back to the way things were. But I think one thing that may be influenced, may change a little bit is how we do online training.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think states are already starting to respond. There's one I'm working with on just getting my stuff automatically accepted, and they sent me the information like, here's this PDF, look at this and do these things, here's the process. And I read the PDF, and on like page 4 it says trainers must be in state residents of the state. And so I message them back, and I'm like, don't live in your state. And they're like, oh shit, that's the old PDF, we just changed that.
Uh-huh.
So I mean, there's that stuff going on, because they're realizing they can bring in different
more content, different people. Sure.
Yeah. And I'm not saying better, I'm just saying different, more variety.
I think
a lot of states they wanted to keep that kind of stuff in-house, because they want to create jobs for states, and they want to keep their dollars in state and that kind of stuff. And it doesn't necessarily provide the variety and meet the training needs of the people that are in those areas. So I think there's going to be some growth and expansion on that. And like you say, a national standard for what counts would be easier. I think what tends to happen is as things go by and different locations try different things, they tend to gravitate towards a thing that works, and then that tends to be adopted. I mean, think about things like group size and ratios. There's some variation from state to state, but mostly over time, most of the states are doing pretty similar things when it comes to that, because that seems to be what works. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that and hand washing and so many other things, the language might be a little bit different. There might be some variations, but mostly those things are pretty standard from place to place, even though there's not that national standard.
I think mine was not necessarily on what's going to count, but I think it's, and maybe this is just me being, I don't know, professionally kind of selfish, but some of us out there running the roads, you know, if I have to fill out a resume one more time, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's certain people of a certain caliber out there that I don't think that you necessarily need to, you know, fill out the 15-page thing. Like, fill it out one time and then be done with it. Like kind of exactly what's happening with your platform in Nebraska. Anything that Jeff Johnson puts out there is going to be accepted and approved. Awesome. And I think there would be a process. And there's negative and positive to all of this, but I think something like that should exist nationally.
And I think more states are going to gravitate towards having something like that built into their process.
Certain states, like if you have that qualification in these 5 states, then therefore it's going to be for all of them.
Well, you know, yeah, something like that. Or it's kind of like or if it becomes something like a driver's license, if you're qualified this state, then the stuff will go in other places. That
that's
kind
exactly
of thing.
That's a great analogy, because that's exactly, I would love to have a little card that said I was legally allowed to do trainings.
Well,
and
a driver's license, auto insurance. I mean, you don't have to have a different auto insurance policy for every state. It transfers. You buy your policy in the state you live in, and your insurance is going to work when you cross the border into the next state. So that kind of thing. I could totally get my head around that. And I think another thing that might come of this is, I mean, state budgets are going to take a hit from this, because the tax base has been hugely impacted. And so some states may find they need to streamline their process just on an economic standpoint, and may look at making some of those changes as well. So that's a possibility there too.
I like some of the Facebook. I right now am loving the Facebook Live platform. Mm-hmm. Security wise, it's probably not the best, but the real time interaction with that and seeing people connect from all over, you know, making like COVID buddies and stuff like that. So the networking that potentially is happening for other people who might be feeling very by themselves right now and missing their own professional community. I always think it's wise to have new people in your tribe to bounce ideas off of. And I see this opportunity for that, like it's expanding the opportunity for that, and I've been pleased watching that growth.
Yeah, that's a good thing that's going on. I think the technology is going to be faster. I mean, 5G is starting to become a thing, and that it's going to make the internet so damn fast that, I mean, literally I'll say 10 years, Lisa Murphy could be a fucking hologram showing up at a presentation. So the only thing different with Zoom, you'd have to put on pants.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you couldn't just...
Better go on that quarantine diet pretty soon then. Yeah.
I don't know. So we made a podcast out of not knowing what we're going to talk about.
Go what we could. I mean, you and I could talk probably about anything. And I think my trip up was forever. I just never jumped into anything because I didn't have to. I was intimidated by the whole thing. I didn't really know what to do. I was worried about making a mistake. And I just kind of, I talked to my brother and I was like, dude, walk me through this. And because my MO is that I'm not willing to do it. I mean, that's my typical MO is I'm not going to do it until I got all the T's crossed and I'm a professional at this new thing. And my brother's like, he totally talked me off that ledge. He's like, you need to let that go. He's like, you're good at midstream adjustments. We all know that. Just start it, pull the plug and change what needs to change as it goes on. Let it grow organically, as opposed to thinking you need to like become the master of this new thing. And I'm really glad that I was able to receive that feedback. Right. And not because it's been exciting. It's a learning curve, which I think my brain needed at this point, something kind of new to figure out. And I've enjoyed it.
Well, it's all about something we talk about on the show a lot. It's about doing the scary thing. And it is, mm-hmm. well, the basics are the same as what you've been doing for 20 years. You're talking to people about something you know about and are passionate about. The way you're doing it is just different enough to make it uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Learning
new steps. I mean, stuff that in the big grand scheme of things doesn't make a hill of beans a difference. But while you're in that initial learning curve stage, it does. You're like, oh, shoot, I forgot to send the Zoom link out to 40 people, you know, shit, you know. So, okay, how do I tighten up the administrative behind the scenes piece so that it becomes just something that you do so you can get to the conversation, which is, of course, you know, where I ultimately want to go.
Yeah. And it's about building those new habits and those processes.
Exactly.
I mean, because for me, the whole online thing is mostly you feel like you got to be stuck to a microphone sitting down. And that's just awkward for me. And so the first thing I did when I got serious about this was figure out how I can do it standing up and moving. Because a lot of the presentations I do, I got to show you this thing and that kind of stuff. And it's different, but once you figure those things out, it works pretty nice.
I agree.
Should we wrap this one up?
Might as well.
This has been another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. We really appreciate you listening and sharing the show and tuning in. If you have a topic you want us to talk about, let us know, because I mean, we're over 600 episodes and sometimes it feels like we've talked about everything, but then we find we can keep talking about other stuff. So if there's something you want us to dig into, send us the idea and a couple bullet points and we'll of course give it a go. Back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.